to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to look at one verse and build from that verse. This verse is something that we need to really pound on, and I need to use it and apply it and live it. I think it's a volume of truth in this verse, and I just don't want it to be focused on missions. I think it's a verse that we need to apply every day in our life, and because it's a relationship, who He is, and what we really do believe in our God. Tonight, I just want to talk to you about faith promise, what we will do, what will faith promise do, or what will it do it for us and help us. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and it says, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So I want to please God. I got to have faith and really trust Him and depend on Him. And then it says that he that cometh to God must believe that He is. I mean, you got to believe that He is God, and He's the Almighty God, and there's no one beside Him, and I got to trust Him. And listen, that's really dependent upon Him. It's kind of saying, if I don't trust Him, I'm saying that He's not able. I'm saying that, God, I got problems or struggles, and You just don't care about me. Have you ever think about that? God, You just don't care about my needs. And God, You just don't really love me. God, You really don't understand me. Those words we really want to say, but sometimes we say it in our actions, don't we? Because the way we live our life. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I must believe that He is God, and He's Almighty God, and the thing is, and I look at that, and He's rewarded them that diligently seek Him, and He always rewards me, always takes care of me. He's a good God. So we're going to look at this tonight, what faith promise will do for us tonight. Let's pray. Father, we come to You tonight, and as we look at Your Word, Lord God, and this Scripture here, we're going to use many, many more Scriptures. Take the truth of Your Word of God, help apply these truths in our lives to be used, and Lord, help my unbelief, and Lord, help me to trust and depend upon You, and look at the examples of men before us, and how they lived and used Your Word and trust depend upon You, Lord, and You worked them mightily, and You're still the same God You were then, and You are today. You haven't changed. And Lord, help us to grow and mature from faith to faith of these other men, Father. Lord, we ask You to speak to hearts tonight and challenge us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, faith promise is given merely as a opportunity to give beyond our ability, and it's really as a faith that's trusting on God's promises. I mean, when I bowed my head in May 9th, 1999, I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, please save me." What was I doing? I really was trusting God to save me, wasn't I? By faith, promised His Word. He said, if I call upon it, He'll save me. I really am trusting Him, my whole faith. And, you know, not just those things that God says, now, if you go in all the world and preach the gospel, I'm going to be with you always. And you heard me tell you a testimony where I was in Africa, and boy, I was really felt heavy, and I remember praying by this old bed. There was nothing. It was just the way they built the beds. It was just old, and I didn't care. I need to get to the God. I need to get a hold of my God and say, God, I'm afraid. I can't do it. And he met me there in that little room. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." The promises I have to claim on. And that's what faith from. We really are taking truths and what God has said, and I apply these promises. I mean, we come here to grow and to trust Him and do great, mighty things for God. We're trusting. You know, missionary leaves and takes his family to go to a foreign field. Listen, is he doing it for the people or is he doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ? He loses his wife or he loses his kids. Is it worth for those people or is it worth for the Lord Jesus Christ? You got to look at that. I mean, our life is really to serve Him. Faith promise is a method of giving individually as individual or a family through a local church. It's a principle of sowing, reaping. I sow and listen, I'm going to reap one day in glory. Listen, it's a part of sacrifice and really in faith and applying it. 2 Corinthians 8:3 says, "For their power," talking about the church in Macedonia in that area, and says, "For their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they're willing of themselves." Listen, they got a hold of it, and they said, let me tell you this, you take the word faith promise out of it, and to say just faith and dependent on God, it's the same thing. If I give myself to God, and what could God really do with us tonight? Imagine what God can really do in my life, in your life. We just put our faith and say, God, here am I. Now use me where You want me to use. I mean, we can make a difference in a lot of people's lives. Listen, there's a lot of people hurting from drugs and problems and marriages and everything they're hurting. Listen, God can change and fix everything out there, can't He? We know that, but so we unbelief stops us. So what would faith promise do? There's a couple of things here. I may not get done with it. When the bell rings, amen, I'll quit. It ain't going to ring until about 8 o'clock in the morning, so hold on. What faith promise do for? Look at with me in Matthew chapter 9 tonight. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. What would faith promise do? It builds focus of any church. It kind of helps us focus where our objective is. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, in verse 35, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with what? Compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest is truly as plenteous, but the laborers are few. God help us. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, when you look at that, you see the verse 35, you see the focus of work of Jesus, the focus of Jesus' work. He went about every city and villages teaching them in their synagogues. He went about everywhere preaching and teaching the Word of God. He didn't stay in that one location. He went everywhere teaching about who he was and the purpose, how to get saved, and he was changing lives. He cared for about all those people. I mean, he really did. He didn't stay local. And the thing is, we got to really get out. We really do got to get out. I mean, listen, there's places I'll never reach that you can reach. You know what I'm saying? Nuclear science, you know, nuclear stuff like that. I mean, I can't even spell nuclear, so they won't even let me work in there. But you know what I'm saying? You can reach people there that I can never reach. I mean, air traffic controller is fun, guys. Anybody can be an air traffic controller. It's like a video game. You know, you get 3 or 4 turns. You know, you mess up. Oh, sorry. We just start all over. Re-hit reset. You know. But listen, it's an opportunity to reach people where you work at. And brother, the artist works in the firefighting, the communities out, people I'll never meet. But listen to this, so when you're going out in our streets here, you'll meet people that you never meet. You'll see people that you never met. And you live here all your life. This really is an opportunity. But he went everywhere preaching and teaching. Listen, he was preaching the gospel. It says here that he was teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was going everywhere teaching and preaching the gospel. His focus was like any church is to go everywhere preaching. He was healing. People was healing the sickness. You know, I think of people not with physical sickness and all that. I can't heal them. But listen, people are sick with sin. I mean, you go to marriages and people are hurting. The young families are struggling in their marriages and they're trying to get things right. And they're doing this and doing that. They're not happy. Listen, it just struggles. And before you know it, they're divorced and kids are destroyed. Listen, there's a lot of sickness out there. A sin that we can help lives. This changes lives. There's too many people that got saved, their lives were saved by, their marriage was saved by the Word of God. I mean, it does make a difference. But everywhere healing. Listen, I tell you, I probably wouldn't be married to my wife if I didn't have the Word of God in my life because I was so selfish. If I didn't get what I want, I did what I want to do. But listen, God gave me a wonderful wife that really taught me a lot of principle about loving. But listen to this, I didn't have the Word of God. That met us and it helped us. And it didn't, my kids, well, there's no telling if we had kids and if we did, how much messed up they would be. Listen, he changes lives. That's his focus. It does, faith problems build focus in the church to reach lives. In verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And I keep thinking, you know, he knew that. He knew their conditions, but he wasn't really trying to see that for himself. Like he was surprised. He was sharing that with the disciples. He saw the people and he said, there's no shepherd. Can you imagine living in a city where there's no independent Baptist, where nobody really preaching the gospel? Can you imagine where there's nowhere to go and you were like, I'm searching for God where I can go, and you go this place here and they tell you do this, you know, put a pot on your hand or jump on one leg and do this or pay all this and you can't find it. I mean, there's all kind of muck out there they tell you to do, but there's no happiness, there's no joy, there's no truth. And yet we have all kind of churches around here and there. Some are preaching truth, some. But you can imagine living in a country where you don't have it. It changes your focus and you start looking at what we got and there's other people around us don't have it. Would you drive 2 hours to go to church every Sunday? Morning and evening?
There's people who walk hours to get to a church to hear the truth. Listen, we're your love and compassion. He said he saw the people without a shepherd, and it moved him, and he was trying to get us to see. You notice that people in this world are dying on the devil's hell, and does it move you? Do you see as he sees? Listen, faith promise helps us focus on our as a church, as the need. We do need to start churches. Listen, this church here is not to stop. We don't stop here. We're not just sending missionaries to Armenia and South Thailand. We need to start. Somebody need to be called here to go to start another church, another state, or down the road in Louisiana. You know how you Louisiana. Y'all people are all messed up. Roll Tide. No, you know what you need to do? We need to send a bunch of cotton-picking preachers there in Alabama, because there is nothing there. I'm telling you, there is nothing hardly in Alabama. They need some good, listen, they need some boys from Louisiana that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and go and preach the gospel and get them right with God. They really do. Get them saved, go Tigers. I don't care, but get them saved, amen? But we need to start churches. I mean, we have that vision of focus, of not just to reach in the world, but reaching our local communities and the peoples around us. Listen, he said the people had the compassion. And he had that compassion. He already had it. He was trying to get us to see it. But the focus, when he goes verse 37, he says, and he said unto the disciples, the harvest is truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, the work is large. All he tells us to go in all the world, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He tells us go to the regions beyond you. He tells us go to the uttermost part. He tells us to go because wherever a soul, a man may be, you go and find it. The focus is to reach the one to the furthest end, to the closest one, reach them all. It ain't just here and in our little community where it's easy. It's really reach out people. That's why it's important to get missions. It's important to really pray in God and say, look, Lord, we see on a prayer sheet, Uzbekistan and all these different stands. And God, is there really somebody there? Have you imagined all those people, millions of people, there's nobody there? Where would they go? I mean, should we start seeing that there's no shepherd, there's no churches. Listen, what faith promise do? It starts making us focus a little bit on our church, don't it? Start focusing on the need to reach in the world. The harvest is truly as plenteous. Listen, it's already there. You notice that it said the workers are few. The laborers are few. Why? Why is it there so many laborers are few that God has saved so many of us? And why we're not willing to work? You know, I can't answer for all those other people, but we can just answer for ourselves and say, Lord, here am I. I'll go then. I don't know why they won't, but I'll go. I'll do what I can. God, I'll just whatever. Listen, the wooing, he says, pray ye therefore. The wooing, listen, the idea of the eagerness of saying, God, get a hold of it. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Get praying, God. Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to say, God, help me, and say, there's a focus, there's a need. I mean, I'm telling you, our focus is to get to see the work is large and there's few laborers, but it focus on praying. Listen, the opportunities to go. He said, pray there for the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers. God, I pray you bring, we need more laborers. We need more people in this church to be willing to work and serve. But you know what? There's other people that needs it too. And you know, there's a church down the road that needs a piano player. They're not looking to hire somebody. They're looking for somebody that can play and be willing to serve as a piano player and a soul winner and a prayer warrior and a Sunday school teacher. They're looking for somebody to serve. I'm not saying if you're to leave, I don't want you to go there. I want you to stay here and work. The harvest is truly plenteous. The laborers are few. So, you know, faith promise do, it makes us kind of focus about our church, don't it? Kind of, what can I do, God? I mean, he's trying to get these boys here to know that it's a lot of work. Lord, I'll be willing to pray. Lord, I'll be willing to surrender. I'll be willing to go. What do you want me to do? Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 17. Very familiar text here. 1 Kings chapter 17, dealing with Elijah. Elijah here was, he talked to Ahab, and he told Ahab, but it's not going to rain. In verse 1, it says this in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came upon him, saying, go thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, that it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went
and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank to the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there has been no rain in the land. You know what faith promise do? It helps build faith. You know, the Bible says, Romans 1:17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I was thinking about this here, and that's why I kind of brought the introduction, is that was Elijah, when he, remember, he prayed for the fire to come down, for the sacrifice, was his faith that strong that he could bring fire at beginning? Listen, it started out beginning. He prayed to God. God said, don't let it rain. Tell him to pray. And he prays. And listen, he goes and does that. For 3 years, it doesn't rain. And God says, I want you to go over here to the Cherith. I'm going to feed you by ravens. And you're going to drink from this brook, and I'm going to take care of you. Then God does that, and he provides. And he said the brook dried up. Then God calls him. He says, look, okay, the brook didn't take care of you. Listen, I'm not going to let the birds feed you. I'm going to give you a good provision. I'm going to send you to a widow woman to take care of you. So this widow woman has got all kinds of money. No, this widow woman had just a handful of meal and just a little bit of oil for herself and her son to die. That's all they had. He said, he sends him to that woman to sustain him and to take care of him. So he goes to her and he tells her that, and he sees her. And I think in verse 14, the Lord God Israel, he says, verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain unto the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And it says, and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which spake by Elijah. Here you see that his faith grew. Listen, if he saw what God did and it didn't rain, his faith grew. He saw that God took care of him by a raven, a bird that brought him food and water by a brook. His faith grew. God said, I want you to go to the widow woman. And he goes to the widow woman, didn't have nothing. He said, you do this first and God will provide. And she did it. And God showed and proved to her and to him that God answers prayer. His faith grew from faith to faith. Ain't it amazing when faith promises an opportunity to say, God, what me do? He does that and he gives that and provides. My faith starts growing from faith to faith. Listen, it does, and he shows himself. Isn't it amazing when you pray and you ask God for something, he answers your prayer and you get excited? That means sometimes we just stop and say, well, God, I can't do no more. I done use all my tokens. That's not right, is it? The problem is we need to start saying, you know what, God answered this and he can do more. I mean, what else I can do? I'll give myself. But focus is start. My faith really starts building. What faith promises do? It starts building my faith and seeing what God does do in my life, and what God can do and do more. I mean, I was amazed at a country boy that can barely read, can barely write, can barely do anything. Go to a mission field, raise his support in the year to take care of his family, and plus raise enough money to buy a truck and buy the furniture and everything I need. God provided that in the year, and everybody you go out there, you call every mission board and you can tell if I'm a cotton picking liar. They'll tell you it's going to take 3 or 4 years to raise your money. Did it in a year. Not because I'm great, because I believe God. I believe that God wanted me to go and I took off and I trusted God and God provided. You can't make them give you money. They're all churches like us. We're broke. They don't have no money. But God works. Ask every one of those missionaries to come by and how the God works in life. They'll tell you a little story after story how miracles God worked in their life. Brother Schreeder's talking about he went to a church, didn't plan to get nothing, they picked him up. Didn't even know. He just telling how to, see, God works, and his faith started growing from faith to faith. Listen, God provided. Hey, listen to this. His faith got so good that he started growing, and guess what? The widow woman's son died. What he does? He's never prayed for somebody's die to come up. He prayed, he was willing. Would you be willing if somebody died and said, well, I'll pray and ask God to lay somebody? I believe he could do it. I mean, I don't know. I can't do it. I mean, God could, I guess, but brother, you might want to pray. I don't know if I could do that. But he took that child and brought him to that room and prayed and asked God to bring life to that child, and God did. Listen, his faith grew from faith to faith. It grew. And we're looking at 18. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. He says, now and then, he says, therefore, he tells him about the Elijah. Was it verse 19? It says, therefore, send and gather me all the Israel, the Mount of Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent on all the says all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together to Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt between the two opinions? Look at verse 24. And call ye now in the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of my Lord, or name of the Lord, and the God of that answereth by fire. Let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Here he says his faith got to a point, folks, that he didn't need to get new faith. Listen, he had enough faith and believed that God will bring fire from heaven, devour that sacrifice. I'm just trying to get to the point is our faith does grow from one point to another. One faith to faith, folks. It does grow. That's what faith promise does. It helps build our faith. Listen, you know, you're praying and getting hold of God, and I hear Brother Hall talk about God answer this prayer and God answer this prayer. Ask Brother Hall the God answer prayers. Listen, it does make a difference. And I imagine you can ask any other you guys, you say, Lord, I've seen God do this. And Brother Peterson trying to find a house and move his family. He doesn't know nothing much. I guess I don't know you know anything about North Carolina. But listen, all he can go back what God has done in his life and say, I'm trusting, dependent on the Word of God, that God's going to provide, God's going to do it, and his faith will be from built from this point to another point. When he gets there, he's going to see some things that God worked out. He's going to tell his kids, say, watch God work from faith to faith. Go with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, faith promise do it. Listen, it, what does it do? It builds a focus on a church, and listen, it will build a faith for any church. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 says this, for as touching the ministering of to the saints is superfluous for me to write unto you, for it says, for I know the foreness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready to a year ago. It says, Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. What faith promise will build? It builds a fire for any church. Here he's talking to church of Corinth, and listen, he says, you know, I know I didn't have to tell you anymore. There's needless to urge you to the matter of giving. He says, there's a point ago that you, a year ago that you was willing to give. You was hot. There was a fire. There was an eagerness. There was a foreignness in your heart. You was ready to give. He said, I talked about you. I bragged about you. Listen, I can tell everybody you was ready to give. And listen, that fire affected others. That fire, for their willing to give, affected the churches of Macedonia. Listen, that faith will build a fire in our life. Listen, when we start saying, you know what, God does do this. God does answer prayers. God does save people. God does move. And God does build a church. God does change lives. And God does do a lot of great things. And you get excited about God, and people start seeing it. And they say, it does. Where's the other churches around here you get excited about? I want to get involved in that. God's there. Listen, we don't have to go looking for that. We got God. We just start believing God, what God would do. I believe in faith promise more. I like missions more than anything else because it really gets to the heart of the matter. Because where our heart is where our treasure is. A lot of times, this is where our treasure is right here, buddy. This is where our treasure is. You take this away and you give it to God, and He has our heart. Then He gets our and He has our lives, and He starts changing us, doesn't He? God, what you want me to do? What is it you need, God? I mean, listen, look at me. Go with me real quick. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse 8 with me. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. If it's not, just bear with me. I'll find it. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. It is verse 8. Look at verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. It says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He's talking to the church of Rome, right? He said that your faith is spoken of throughout the what? The whole world. He said, you got a testimony. What's the testimony of Grace Baptist Church? Is it spoken of through the whole world? Listen, I'm telling you what, people, how they get a faith, because I believe that they saw God work and people's lives were changing and people were leaving that place and they were getting saved and they went to other places and people say, yeah, I was from that church here and God started changing my life and they see this other person. Listen, I mean, we got two missionaries here, but when people come here, a lot of times they're looking for, oh, that church gives good money. But you know what? They get excited and say, you know what? That church loves God. That church loves missions. That church have a giving heart. That church desires for souls to be saved. Listen, if you don't do right, they will get rid of you. They're looking for a man that loves God. Listen, they get excited about it. Listen, what's our testimony? Do we give a lot? That church, Rome, it was spoken throughout the whole world. What's your testimony? Listen, faith probably makes a fire in our lives. It makes a difference. It does change. It provokes the church of Macedonia to get fired up, and they were willing to give. Listen, that church of Corinth had all kinds of money, a big city, and that church of Macedonia was small churches. They didn't have nothing. It was great poverty and deep persecution, affliction upon them, and they were willing to give more than the church of Corinth because they're willing to give themselves. And listen, it brings a fire in their hearts. They say, remember it says in 2 Corinthians, they entreated, they said, beg Paul, Paul, you take it. Paul said, Paul, you take it. We want to give it. Don't stop the blessing. There's a fire. Is there a fire in our hearts? Listen, that's what faith promises. It brings a fire and you start seeing what it does. It starts seeing souls saved. It starts changing lives. It provokes meaning. Listen, people have gotten saved. It changes lives. What else it does? And not just, I didn't write it down, so I'm back, I have to go back and forth. It builds focus on any church. It builds faith. It builds a fire in a church. It builds families in any church. Think about it. It builds families. Go with me in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy in the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. It builds lives. Listen. Verse 4, it teaches that there's a purpose. One purpose is that there is one God, one Lord. The Bible says, Jesus said, all power is given me from heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. What's our point purpose as a church? To reach the world, isn't it? But why? Because there's one God. There's only one purpose in life. It's for Him. That's our purpose, to fulfill His commission, His command. It's our purpose in life to serve, to obey, to listen, to surrender our life for Him. That's our purpose. But listen, in verse 5, it focuses on our goal. It says, listen, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I mean, if you really love God, you got to love Him with all your heart, all your being, all your purpose. Listen, He's more important than anything else. He really is more important than my wife. He's more important than my children. He's more important than my career. He's more important than anything in life. He's my breath. He's my heart. He's everything. He should be the number one preeminence of my life. Listen, I love God so much, I should be willing to give my kids to God and say, here's Brooke, you take her, God. Here's Marjorie, you take her, God. Here's Maggie, you take her, God. Here's Rebecca, you take her, God. They're yours. What, Lord, this is the wife you gave me. She's yours. How do you want me to take care and love her? What do you do for her, Lord? She's yours. And God says, I want them to take them home from glory. I'll dismiss them, but they're His. It didn't hurt me giving His money away today. Did it hurt you? But it hurts you when you take your money, your car, your house, because it's yours. When you give it to God, then it's not yours, is it? It's His. If He chose to take it, it's His. He giveth, He taketh. It's His. is our one goal. Listen, our heart, our understanding, my will, listen, all my might, all my power, a plan to tell others, to teach others. And there's our testimony. Look at verse 7 and 8. He goes this. Verse 8, it says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. On my hand, my work and things I'm doing for God. It should be a sign, a testimony that I'm giving my life for Him. And they that shall be a frontless and between thine eyes. Listen, this teaching be the vision, the purpose of my life is to serve Him with all my heart, all my purpose. And listen, it brings the families together and say, this is what God wants us to do. Kids, listen, we're going to give the faith promise for not just so we can give. It's an opportunity that we can invest in souls that people get saved. I mean, I'm going to never meet those people in Africa that Brother Cumbier teaches and reaches. Listen, they're affected people, but I can invest in him so he can reach those people that I'll never meet, but when I see him in glory, I can say, thank you, God, for letting me be part of that. It's us building together and seeing what God does in our life and the purpose of it. Reaching the uttermost. What does faith promise do? It builds fellowship. Come here with 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him, declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Now, I'm going to kind of be short here, get to the points. But the thing is, our fellowship is around him. It's a command. It says, you know, it's not basically respecting him or about him. It's of him. He says, this message we have heard of him. This is our fellowship is around the Word of God. It's who he is. I mean, it's I have a common goal or accomplishment. Listen, he's the light of, he said, God is light. There's a fellowship around truth. And, you know, when I get around the Word of God and I start saying, you know what, you're right, and I have you, and then say, Lord, do you want me to do? I'll do this. And it's a process of growing in fellowship, and it's a time of communion. And I realize if the Word of God is important for me, the Word of God is important for my family, and the Word of God is important for my church, is it not important for others in this world to have it? How much important? Are we just deserve more than they? And they're the dogs today? We were the dogs. We don't even deserve. There's no impossible way a Gentile could get saved at one time, they thought. Can you imagine people from Africa, Ecuador, Mexico, sending missionaries to America? If we don't send them, they have a heart. We're turning the light off because we're not getting around the light. Listen, it does build fellowship. It gives us a communion. It helps us get strong and have a common bond. It's a purpose, what God... It's in the fellowship one another. It draws us closer. Listen, the blood of Christ cleanses us. It helps us to get a bond for the need. That's why when we do pray and you say, God, what is you have us to do? When we pray as collectively as an individual, collectively as a church or individual, but we're all purpose is to say, God, what do you want us to do? Listen, there's a great need and there's a great command. And God, we are earning so little, but listen, here we are. We can do great things through you. What do you want us to do? Would it be crazy to me to say to you that we can do $70,000 a year in missions? We're only doing, I think, about 50. Could we do 70? Could God do 70 through us? It's a lot, preacher. I don't know if our faith is there. I know it's... Is it? Let me ask you a question. If I ask God for $10, could he do it? Could he do it? Is God broke? Can God do $10 just as easy as $1,000? It's me stopping it, isn't it? Listen, our fellowship, get around the Word of God and seeing who He is and working our lives. Listen, it builds finance. Look, Luke 6:38 says, "Given it shall be given." Real quick, for the time's sake, it does build a finance. He learns how to give. We give it, and listen, we learn how to trust because He's given it back. He works in our life, and we see the evidence that God's building our life. And he said, I give, he never outgive, I can outgive, and he always provides. Men shall give unto me through their bosom. And listen, God helps me. God provides for those things, and I take those truths and apply it. But it does build my finances. I kind of spoke this morning. Prove me now here with the Lord of hosts, if I not would open the windows of heaven. God said, do it. I command you. I encourage you to do it. But listen, if you don't believe me, try me. Listen, it builds future. Turn with me to Psalms 127, and we'll get close to their closing. Job, Psalms 127, verse 3. Psalms 127, verse 3, it says this, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And is the thing about it is a inheritance from God, our children are. But I thought about the future of our missionaries is our children. You know what faith promise do? It really helped us train these boys and girls, see how important it is. By your faith and your action, your trust in God affects these kids. It really does. Because the thing is, you have no faith, they'll see there's no faith, and they'll say, how can we do it? I came from a place where I saw men, and God used a church where it ran about 100. I know it didn't run 120. I think it was a good 100 people. And they gave $100,000, $120,000 a year in missions. Seen it. I've seen God work, and these people were just like me and you. They're not white collar, we're blue collar, they're just making a living, but God used them. They had faith. I'm telling you, folks, it grows. I'm not looking abundance, I'm looking our faith to grow. I'm looking for somebody in here that hasn't been given to missions and say, look, I'll get involved in it because this is what God wants me to do, and I'll give 50 cents. That's what God wants you to give. You just give that. Listen, you're involved in mission. That's what my point and my purpose is, to get involved with God, what He wants you to do. Now, God wants you to give $1,000 a week. Bless God, do what God wants you to do. He'll bless you. But listen, it affects their children. Are they going to be the next go missionaries? Are they willing to say, God, here am I? And we pray as collectively as a family, saying, God, it is important. This is kids, this is important. This is missions and really valuable. This is souls depend on what we do. You know, this is our ballot. You know, it's Grace Baptist Church, send time and harvest, faith promise commitment card, missions conference, October the 10th through the 14th. And I'll be giving these out, and I'm going to be mailing them out. I want you to get them and pray over it. But listen, this is a ballot we say to tell our kids and say, look, this is a decision. We're going to make a decision. What God wants us to do, we're going to get a hold of God. But our kids are going to start saying they'll be the next go missionaries. They may not be the next go missionary, but they can learn and say, I'll be a next co-missionary. You know, I see my mom and dad do it, and God blessed and worked in their life. There's testimony. It changes. They grow. They're the heritage of our church. Listen, they can be the next no missionaries. They could be the next kids say, you know what? My parents didn't care about it. I don't care about it. You know, people, they die and go to the devil's hell. That's up to them. I ain't worried about it. That's between God and them. I don't care. I don't want to be that. I don't want my girls to have that view. I'm a dad that loves my girls. And, you know, as a perspective of a dad, you know what I want? I want my girls to find a nice young man, and they work and they take care of us, be a preacher or work in a church, you know what I'm saying? They round here and take, you know, be involved in it. I see them have grandkids. I don't want them to go to Africa. That's the dad talking. But there's that part of me saying, God, I want you to take my kids. If God, that's where you want them to go, to Africa, or you're going to Australia or Ecuador, you take them. Children, I want you to say, God, here am I. Not know God. What faith promise does, it does build family. It does build a future for our churches. There's rewards, folks. Listen, can you imagine seeing Jesus Christ in His faith? And He says, you know, He's seeing one. Imagine the people that get saved with all the money we invested in missions, and they got saved through Grace Baptist Church. They got saved through the missionaries we supported. And then we'll say, thank you, Grace Baptist Church. There's people that kept that preacher there in Spain so I can get saved and my wife can get saved. And by the fact that my children got saved, then I was called in the ministry to preach the gospel. And I was, I told you, there's many people are left to the Lord. But you know, listen, everybody that affected in their lives, may not get saved, affecting their lives helps them.
It's not billed to my account, it's billed to their account. Can you imagine what you see in glory? Can you imagine seeing Jesus Christ and look upon His faith and He says, "Well done, thou faithful servant. You saw what I saw. You saw the field was ready, is already to harvest. You saw that there was no shepherd. You said, I'll go, but I couldn't send you. You wasn't ready, or I need you to do this. I had a task for you to do this, but you couldn't do it, but you sent somebody there, and you took what I blessed you with, and you invested in that person to go there. Well done. You took the money and the investment and the wisdom I gave you, invested it in something valuable. Well done. Well done. How about this? Can we imagine laying in bed before we die and says, I fought the good fight, I finished my course that God put in my life. I'm not no Paul Chappell. I am not no Jack Hiles. Who's that guy at Crown College? I'm not him either. Who's that guy, Dr. Robertson? I'm not Dr. Robertson. I'm just Carl Stanley, doing what ability I can do. And I say, God, here am I. Here am I. What do you have me to do? That's all He's asking for you and I to do. Faith probably does a lot. It changes a lot. But you notice it all has in common. It focuses on Him and His work. But He changes us. Are you going to let Him change you? If you have, listen, if God is not Lord of all, then no sin is not Lord at all. But what does faith promise do? It builds focus. It builds faith. It builds a fire in our lives. It builds our families closer. It builds fellowship. It builds finances. It builds fields. We're ready to go. Listen, it builds future. And it builds the final rewards and glory. Faith promise does a lot if you get involved. As a pastor, I encourage you, I challenge you to be involved. Boys and girls, listen to me. Listen to me, look, encourage you to get involved and get your mom and dad and pray about it. Listen, I don't care if it's a nickel or a quarter, get involved. It's invaluable. It ain't the money, it's the heart. Seeing what God would do in your life. If you're willing to give your life, God's got you. And He can do great, mighty things through you. Let's let our faith grow from faith to faith. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. You know, God spoke to your heart and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Then I pray you come. You get saved. You say, Preacher, I need to join the church. And you come and join the church. Preacher, I need to get baptized. You come and get baptized. You say, Preacher, I just need to spend time with God and say, God, will you help me to do for faith promise? It is a serious business. And God, I need to spend some time. You know, I mean, we need to really spend time. Maybe we want to bring your family and say, you know what, let's get our family to the altar and say, you know, God, here's my family. Lord, you know, as a man, I say, here's take my wife. And Lord, here's take my kids. And Lord, here, take my pocketbook. What do you want us to give as a family? Help me lead. What you want me to do? But the thing is, we need to make some decision, get along with God. If you don't spend time with God, why do you expect your kids to spend time with God? If kids don't see us praying, why do you expect them to come to the altar? We need to spend time with God. If God spoke to your heart and challenged you, or you may say, God didn't speak to my heart, then I say, come. As the piano plays,